Interactive and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh, let's peel away the layers and focus on you. What's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
Pleasant good afternoon. Stanya here. That's right. I am she and she is me. So I think we skipped a week. I was missing for a week. And I really was looking forward to that show last week because it was about fathers. So I had to do it this week. Hello, somebody. Now, I have three guests in studio today, and we're going to be talking, we're talking about fathers. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago when I said I was going to use the month of June to really talk about men and all that good stuff. So we got to go back a week. Now, last week, I went to church with my dad. And afterwards, we took him to breakfast. And as I was sitting there, I was like, boy, most of my adult years, I have battled issues with my parents, mom and dad. And now, of course, I only got one living parent, who is my dad. And as I was sitting in church, I'm thinking about all of this based on what the priest was preaching about. And then he said, okay, all of the fathers, stand up. And children, put your hands on your dad. And the priest started to pray. And every time he said something, man, listen, I just start crying. Now, I don't know. I was sappy that day. I don't know if it was because I just have one living parent or if it was just going down memory lane. And I made a post about this actually on Facebook. So if you're my friend, you definitely saw the post that I made. And as I was there, I was just thinking about my dad and thinking about the relationship, thinking about me as a father, but thinking about the good things too. And, and I am the product of divorced parents. And as I'm thinking and, going down memory lane and listening to the priest pray and all that stuff, I'm like, wait, hold on now. The mistakes that my dad made, it was a moment of clarity. I said, boy, daddy really did make bloody mistakes. Daddy really messed this thing up. And then when I thought about it, I was like, but the things he did, he thought was the right thing to do. And in that moment, the other part of it was, he simply just didn't know. He didn't know what to do. And so I saw him. Oh, I saw him that day. And any bit of any kind of resentment, and I've definitely already resolved my daddy issues. But any bit, the little residue that was left in that moment, man, I say, I got to pardon him, man. I got to give him a break. Because through it all, through having to deal with my mom, having to deal with navigating step-parents, having to deal with me, because I really was a rebellious young person, still rebellious, hello. Because it wasn't easy to parent me too. But one thing is certain. This one thing I could put everything on the chopping block for. My father has never let me go. Never. And so this is what today's show is about. We're going to talk a little bit about father. Last week, in preparation for last week's show, I did a survey. Three simple questions. Question one was, okay, scale of 1 to 10, what score would you give your father? Guess number one, take think for daddy, you're coming back. Okay. Second question was, Brittany think about that too now. Second question was, what did you learn from your father? Third question, using 3 to 5 words, how would you describe your father? So I sent it out. I sent it to my daughter, and I asked her to send it to her friends or whoever she knew on her, you know, randomly just send it, you know, send it out. And then I called one of my godchildren, a male, asked him, okay, could you please send this out randomly, whoever it is, and, you know, forward the answers to me. And it was very astonishing in some cases, the responses that I got. And this would have been young men, young women between the ages. Well, I had one 17-year-old, so I guess 17 and 24. It was like one 17-year-old, and then everyone was 19, 20, and then I had one 24-year-old. So 10 boys, or 10 males, because they're young men, and 10 females. I'm going to share those responses with you. In studio today, though, because I got a crew who's going to help me dissect this, because there's some interesting things that came up. I think I like doing these little questionnaires and service and research. This is very interesting. In studio with me, I have Frankie Camille. Did I pronounce the last name correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, yes. And I met Frankie. Frankie, you still to the place where I met you?
Yeah, I'm still.
You're still teaching. A teacher. Okay, yeah, still teaching. Yes, okay, good stuff. Because you know y'all have purpose and motion and action, and I know you do 10,000 other things as well. Okay, that's my first guest. And then I have Johnny or Jonathan Paradise Abaco. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, how you doing?
Now, when I came to the studio, I saw he had his daughter with him. I didn't know she was going to be here. And I was like, oh my God, this is good. I'm happy she is here. So the mostest, bestest, importantest guest in studio right now is Tejon Edgecombe. Say hello. All right. And you are important because definitely you would have been, you know, you would have fit in the demographic of young people who I would have spoken with. And, you know, before we came on air, we was laughing. Now I know Frankie is married and Jonathan is divorced. So
yes.
Well, you want people to know you're single, eh? Although I'm sure about that, but anyhow. Okay. But we were laughing in studio because we were, you know, I was telling her, I was like, boy, your daddy love you, boy. I mean, I done had to listen to all kind of rants over the years with him just navigating being a father. So welcome, my guest. So for starters, Frankie, let me ask you, and this question is for you too, Johnny. What do y'all like most about being a dad?
I think for me, what I like most about it is the relationship I have with my child. Watching a whole new human being grow up and being able to nurture them, being able to protect them, being able to guide them. It gives you a whole new sense of purpose.
Right.
When you become a father. And you learn so much.
Yeah.
From your children. Believe it or not,
yes,
you learn and you become someone different.
Yeah.
And so I like her personality, the fact
like
that
this.
She is her own individual, mm-hmm. which means she makes her own choices. And I try to give her as much autonomy as possible in terms of making her own choices, and I listen to her.
Okay.
And so being a father is like being a coach.
Right.
You're watching them from K-5 up to grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, and you're learning. You're watching them. You know what makes them laugh. So sometimes she'd be watching some stuff on YouTube.
Right.
And I'm like, what is this girl laughing at? So you get to appreciate the humanity.
Right.
You get to appreciate the person. That child is becoming. Not only that, you're also contributing to that
growth. Yes.
To that growth.
Yes.
So that's what I like most about it, the relationship.
So So, okay, good stuff. And you said a lot of good things, actually. I'm not going to pinpoint it yet. And I'm only pinpointing these things because, okay, guys, y'all are listening. And just as I said earlier when I said that, you know, many times my dad did not know. He just did not know. It wasn't that he meant any harm, but he just simply didn't know. So I'm going to pinpoint or I'm going to point out some of these things, the good, the positive things, because I am sure there's a whole lot of men listening right now who don't really have a good relationship with their child, whether or not it is a little child. Because, Frankie, how old is your daughter?
She's 9 years old.
9. Or it is a young adult or an adult. And I'm here to tell you, you could fix it. You really can fix it. Johnny, what about you? What you got?
There's definitely not a handbook on being a parent and a father. I had to learn as I go. I was trying to take part from my father from the old school, but I noticed that that dune intertwined in the 20th century. Because
Gen Z is a...
Back in the day...
You say you're Gen Z?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Back in the day, you know, you just do what your parents say, you know, and that's right. That worked back then, but it didn't bring parents closer because they never really listened to you. They tell you, do this A, B, and C, or they beat you or whatever. But I had to learn that if I wanted to garner or get a better relationship with my daughter, you have to listen. Some of the old ways did not work.
Right.
It would kind of push you away. So there, what I learned is I had to learn to be quiet sometimes and just listen. And even though I wanted to, like when she started talking with boys,
that would almost take you out.
My first instinct was to hold her tighter.
Right.
But I had to learn that holding her tighter may have pushed her away further. So I had to let go and start to listen more. So being a father is still an ongoing process. It's and even journey. Though she's 20 now, you still have that overwhelming sense of want to be overprotective.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn how to pull back sometimes because you don't want to be so overprotective that you keep her off to school or something and she break out. So
okay, what do you like most about her? I know she won't know this. What do you like most about your daughter?
What I like most about her is the fact that she's resilient. You know, she tends to... I learn stuff about her every day. I didn't know she reads so much. I just finding out she reads more than...
Than you thought.
I didn't ever know. She reads a lot. Sometimes I like the fact that she has stickability and stamina. And like if she put her mind to something, she goes
She'll
after
do
it. And okay. That's what I like about her.
Good stuff. Okay, guys. And if you want to be a part of this conversation, of course you can. You can send me a text message on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can give me a call, 323-6232. So, okay, now let's just jump on in. How do y'all think these scores went? 10 young men, 10 young women. Johnny, why are you looking crazy? What's the problem? Okay. All right, let's go. Now, based on the scores, we're going to start with the guys. Let's take a look. The lowest score was a 0. This is what was a 0 in terms of what would you rate your father? 0. The highest score was a 9 out of 10. The median score or the average was 5.65 out of 10. So a little bit, just barely.
So you were saying when we rate ourselves or what?
This is what the children rated their dads. Okay, so now let me share some of the messages. This is what they said. That's what they said. One said, loving but absent. That is how they would describe their dad. I'm going to go with the low scores first. When I asked this person, or my daughter or godchild, not quite sure where I got it from, what was it that they learned about their father or from their father? This person said they learned, because their father is an alcoholic, they learn how to limit, learn what their limits were when drinking. Huh. Okay. This person gave their dad a 0. All right. they said they learned how to not be a deadbeat dad. And then they said to describe, geez, Lord mercy. Listen, I don't even want to say this. To describe their father in 3 to 5 words. Frankie, you ready?
I'm ready.
They said broke, bald, and I don't even know if I could say this word. Not a homosexual.
Right. Oh, okay.
Okay. And then there was a 1 out of 10. They said they learned nothing. And the 3 words to describe their father: lousy, egotistical, and annoying. And let me mention that those three that I mentioned, none of the fathers are in the home.
I was thinking that's why I was thinking.
Yeah, they said none of the fathers are in the home. What y'all think about that? That actually made me cringe a little bit to even read those comments.
What I've learned, you should have to, I think sometimes children should listen or try to get the other side of that situation. I don't want to speak too much to my situation, but sometimes the... All I'm saying is, I don't know. I'm saying the father should fight for their child, but sometimes a mom could poison
right
that child as well. But you would never really hear about that because men are, and at least in society, men are, they're not allowed or given grace to even hear that side. So typically you would hear from the mom's side. The mom, typically the child is with the mom, and so you only hear that side. So they could poison that child. I'm not giving those guys right for doing what they've said, but it's good sometimes to hear. I had women and men years later said when they finally hear their dad's side, they said, "I understand why he left."
Well, let me say this now. Questions, but I totally agree with you because without putting all my business, listen, we battling in our family, baby mamas, and Jesus Christ, man. Listen, mothers, see, look at my daddy calling right now. This is my daddy calling me right now. Child, if nobody is calling me every day, watch this now. Daddy, are you on the air?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyhow, okay, we battling that right now, and I can honestly say that there are situations, I totally agree with you, where mothers make it extremely difficult for fathers to be fathers. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there was a young man who was supposed to come on the show. He was here last week, but, you know, something happened here, and we were not able to do the show. So hopefully he'll come next week, and he has been trying. I mean, it's such a sad story. It's a depressing story. That's one side of it. But the other side, too, Johnny, is that, okay, you know what? Let me ask Tay. Tay, I have a question for you. Okay. You, just like me, the product of divorced parents. Now, you ain't know the full story. I mean, you may know or you may not know, and this isn't a judgment in any way. But how did your dad, was he always trying to make contact?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, see, Johnny, that's the difference. Because there are some men, I would hear men say that, okay, you know, women are poisoning the children. And like I said, in some cases, yes, that is the case. However, a child knows, for the most part, if their daddy trying. Mothers don't have to poison nobody, in some cases. Now, some cases, like I just tell you, yes. But if you are showing up or trying, I guarantee you, that child is going to see that. In men, sometimes men do such a... I mean, ain't nobody going to tell the child nothing. It's clear and evident. Now, the difference, Johnny, is that you heard what your daughter said. He always showed up. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
He always showed up. And even when people told him, listen, you need to go have one next child, he ain't never gone nowhere. Okay. Frankie, I know you're a pastor too, so I know if you know about these things, because I know you're still married. and you have a childhood in the marriage. Okay, let me share the good things that people said, that these young men said, and these young men, and man, listen, don't worry, because I have one mother one too, because plenty deadbeat lousy mommy out there too, plenty, and to me that is be even worse. What that is be boys? Anyhow.
You don't hear about that much though.
It's be worse.
But you don't hear about it much, is what I'm saying.
Oh no, but I can go do a show on that too.
All right.
Okay. All right. So now let's take a look at what the guy said who gave their dad an above average score. They said that their dad, one said, he taught me how to be independent. This person, by the way, lived in the home. He described a force that made an unstoppable object. I like that. Another one said that their dad, and this dad is not in the home, that their dad taught them how that you don't have to rush things. If it's for you, it will happen. They described their dad as comedic, laid back, respectful, yet raunchy. Another one said that their dad, who was in the home, taught them how to cook, how to build, how to do car stuff, and described their dad as brave, strong, and friendly. This other person, when I had asked the person, is this father in the home? They say occasionally, so I ain't quite sure what that means. But they said that their dad taught them how to drive, and they described their father as serious, real bad man from the streets. What a time. Okay. Then another one, hustler's mentality. How to be a provider, how to be hardworking, or they described their dad as hardworking, grounded, altruistic. Another one said, my dad taught me how to do kid stuff like ride a bike and swim. And as a man, he taught me that a man doesn't have to be stoic and can be fun and loving and silly and still be a good man. He described his father as dependable, a provider who loves his family. I like that. Then the other one said this was West, and said that he's not perfect, but he's always tried his best for his family, and I can respect him for that. There's someone who gave his dad a 9 out of 10. His dad taught him the value of hard work, patience, to stay calm in tough situations, always finish what you started, and described their dad as strong, dependable, kind, and courageous. So there are some good guys out there. What do you think the role is as the dad to teach their sons? Like, what do you teach your sons? Frankie?
I think one of the main things that our sons need to learn is discipline. That's the first thing. Discipline in terms of different aspects of their lives and what it is to be a man.
Right.
Because the streets now have their own definition of what it is to be a man.
Right.
And so we have a lot of young boys whose definition of manhood is being disrespectful.
Right.
Their definition of manhood is dressing with their pants below their hips, joining gangs.
Right.
Robbing, being the baddest person out in the street. And so their concept of manhood is distorted because they don't have a proper male figure.
Right.
In the home, teaching them and showing them, okay, this is what it is to be a man. And I think that's one of the big things. One of the issues that we're dealing with in this country.
And you know, okay, several things I've noticed. Okay, one is when we check, I mean, I don't know, this could go either way. This could go with bad mommy or missing daddy. When we look at people who have been in prison, and there's statistics, most of them did not have a father figure. At the same time, I've also noticed that men who are single fathers who have custody of the children actually are very well adjusted, more adjusted a single mother home.
Yeah, I think too, men are the foundation of society in my perspective. They are the foundation of the home. And once that foundation is broken, it causes a lot of disruption.
Right.
And so where there's not a strong man, the woman then has to now play both roles. And although many of them do play a good role, I mean, they play it so well that we believe that it is natural, or, you know, we just celebrate them, but that's not their role. Their role is not to raise the children and be the provider
right.
of the home at the same time. And so they can't they can't do all of those things at the same time. And that is the issue. And because women now are leading the household, it is causing problems.
Right.
So we have young men who do not know what it is to be men. Who, we have young men who does not know who don't have no concept of authority.
Right.
So they don't respect authority whatsoever because at home, this is mummy. When they go to the school, it's the,
most of the teachers are females.
Female. And so majority of the time when I go to the school, the students call me mom. So you, instead of saying yes, sir.
Can you stop it now?
What I,
you know, they say yes, mom. I'm like, mom.
Wow. Okay. What you had to say?
What I was thinking of when he was talking about is men provide structure. The difference between, when, like you said, women are doing a great job by heading these homes, but women, I think it is the reason why God had it where man and woman were compatible and it was supposed to be two, because women tend to nurture and be a little more emotional where the dad is be more logical.
Right.
So that's why I think in a when a man, a male-led home, the children tend to come out a little bit better because they're more logical and probably providing structure, whereas a mom may bring up, he nurtured the boys. She nurtured the boys. They come out a little bit more emotional. So when they get out in society,
he's acting on emotions.
They're emotional. They have less conflict resolution. And that's why you see a lot of these boys from mother-led homes tend to, they're kind of prone to violence because they don't know how to gauge their emotions as, like, you know, because men
a good point.
Are taught, at least most fathers will try to tell their kids to be stoic because, you know, as men, you will be held accountable. There's no playing around. So you have to be, you have to command your emotions a little bit more. Whereas I feel why we have so much crime and stuff happening. And like I said, not taking away from the mothers, but if you bring up a young boy, a woman's a woman.
Why, you know, you ever heard, like, sometimes when you hear young men, they're like, yeah, you're decent. Some of them is they wrong, but better than a woman, man.
Right.
And most of them are from single mother homes.
Like I said, no disrespect to the moms. They're doing a great job, but it's...
It is what it is.
I think, too, a lot of men are having so much kids.
Right.
In all over the place, right? When it comes to raising up children, it takes time.
Right.
For instance, when I was on the police force, I realized that I wasn't spending as much time with my daughter as I wanted to. And one of the reasons I decided to leave the police force was because I didn't want my daughter to get to an age where she didn't experience a father.
Right.
And so I left the police force in a heartbeat, and I said, okay, let me focus on raising up my daughter. So at least, you know, at least she'll know what it is to have a father. And so I went from spending a little time with her, focusing on just working, to spending more time with her. And that's when I learn her a bit more. So I say that to say, when we have kids all over the place, and that's one of the reasons I chose to, you know, be married and stay married, to the best of my ability, because, you know, it don't always work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I want my child to be structured. I want to know where my child is at all times. I want her to be protected at all times.
Right.
And I want her to have the best life that she can have. In order for that to happen, I have to be present in the home. I cannot be all over the place. And I think one of the things is we having so much kids
all over the place.
True. This corner and then one through that corner, and we don't have sufficient time,
right,
to raise up the little boy or to raise up the little girl. And so someone suffers. So that's in each home because of the lack of a father.
I agree. You know, people talk about, you know, there's some stars who have a whole heap of children and where they can provide.
Nick Cannon.
Well, now see, I say no name, but anyhow,
I call a name.
Where they can provide financially, right? We know they could provide financially, but just as Frederick, but they cannot. It's impossible for them to provide time because one child is here, another child in another household, another child is here, and each child, of course, have different things going on. Each child is different, so now your time is spent, you don't have enough. You simply, even if you want to be this good dad, you simply do not have the time to be this great father to all or even most of the children.
But I feel mothers need to protect their wombs better because
okay,
a man can't, at the end of the day, the woman have the final say. If a baby is born or if you even have access to put a child there.
It amazes me
when I see some of these mothers knowing a guy may have 6 children already. Why would you even give him an ex child? Because the financial aspect of that, the financial is ready, the finances is already strained, should be strained already.
Okay, I think you are right. But I also think it's also it's incumbent upon both.
Yeah, no, both.
Yes, women, we have to be careful because at the end of the day, we are carrying the child. Therefore, I mean, if someone decides not to be there, then of course, because you're carrying the child, then you are now responsible for this individual.
Yes.
And so that's one part of it. And yes, as women too, we have to make better decisions. But at the same time, as fathers, we also need fathers to take responsibility and just and wrap it up too.
Frankie,
go on.
But in most cases, mm-hmm. the child is the consequence.
Exactly.
So the children are unplanned.
Yeah.
And I think that's an issue. The child is the consequence of the relationship. And so when the relationship was going good, although the person had 4 children, you know, at that point, he was providing, he was giving money, he was taking care of me, he was saying I love, he was doing everything right up until something happens.
Well, I was just
about... And then reality settles in.
Okay.
Or he you know, backs off. And then now, at the end of the day, you are left.
Having to do this work.
With the child. And it causes, you know, emotional issues, it causes problems, it causes domestic violence, it causes the child to grow up resenting either the father or the mother. It causes all kind of problems.
Listen, societal problems. I mean, let me read what someone sent for your text. What made things easier with my own dad is remembering that I may see a 54-year-old, big, bald man, but deep down, he's still 8 years old. His irrational and angry responses aren't coming from an emotionally mature adult. I rationalize his behavior as that of an 8-year-old hurting boy. And I rationalize his behavior as that of an 8-year-old hurting boy and respond to him accordingly. I ain't saying talk to your daddies like they're children, LOL. I just keep in mind that his ego is still in primary school. So the score I would give him is 6. I learned that it's okay to dream big and be a little delusional with your aspirations. It may take longer, but it will happen as long as you work and believe. 3 words that they would describe their dad: stubborn, playful, and determined. Okay, thank you so much. And if you have a message, if you want to grade your dad or you have a comment, feel free to send me a message, 422-4796. Okay, now... we're going to take a quick commercial break, and on the next side, I'm going to share what the young women had to say. And boy, this wasn't good. It was actually very sad and very terrible.
About fathers?
Yes, sir.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government.
But saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the paper. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Croc Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Living paycheck to paycheck? At Fidelity, we can help you take control of your money, build savings, and create a financial future you're proud of. And we'll do it free of charge. Transform your financial future with our coaching sessions today. Make that move. Call 3564.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
And we are back. Listen, the commercial break is me. That's when all the juiciness is me coming out, man. So we were talking about, because, you know, we went back talking about, you know, mothers not giving, you know, not telling the child a full story. And so what I was saying that, okay, now as a product, once again, of divorced parents, listening to my mommy garbage, listening to my daddy garbage, man, the two of them was crazy. The two of them was crazy. Yes. They was young and dumb. Young and dumb. When I think about my mommy, I was like, Jesus, I don't even know how my daddy deal with mommy. And then when I think about my daddy, I know how my mommy deal with daddy. And then we were talking about, you know, mothers poisoning the children. Because, you know, Johnny was driving that point home. And so I had to remind him that the point is, I need you to jump in on this. Because we were saying that, okay, at first you had a different belief too.
Yes.
Okay, what was your belief?
Okay,
speaking to, bring your mic closer.
Sorry.
Okay.
Well, the story that I was gotten from my mom and her side of the family is that my dad was the bad guy.
Right.
Like, everything that happened was because of him.
Right.
She did nothing wrong. It was all him. Yes.
Okay, so that was up until age, like, what?
I would say about, like, 10.
Okay.
Yes, and then my dad actually came to me one day and actually explained the situation to me. And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, let me ask you this. Was he always present, though?
Yes, he was. I would always, because at the time I lived in Abaco, and I would always come to Nassau for the summers, and during that time he would always try to bond with me and try to reconnect with me.
And by the way, let me tell you, Sega talk all his business today. And when you couldn't come, listen, state of depression. He used to be dead upset. I wouldn't talk. This is a little piece. I wouldn't talk, but remember when it was the hurricane and you was chilling in different states? That most kill him. Okay? That most kill him not to see his daughter. So the difference, Johnny, you could say whatever you want to say. We could say, yes, we know that there's mothers who do this. But you were able to have a relationship, or Tay knows how you really felt, because you never gave up. You kept trying. Tay, what you like with your dad, by the way? What do you like most about him?
I like that he is a very compassionate person, and that his mindset and the way he thinks, he doesn't really speak to others or resolve situations with his emotions. He's more of a critical thinker.
Right.
So that is what he taught me, because I've learned that emotions would only lead to regret.
Okay.
So it's always better to think with your mind.
Okay. So you like that. Because y'all is behind you now. Y'all is have all kind of little jokes and things.
All debates. What?
Yes. The happiest is when you're around. I ain't gonna tell you a word of lie. The happiest that I've seen him is when he know you on your way come in, or when you there. But that's the thing, guys. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. And as Johnny shared, that took years for him to do. But why didn't you give up, Johnny? Speaking to the mic.
I didn't give up because I know that I can have a breakthrough and I love her. And I'm stubborn.
I just couldn't give up.
I don't give up, no.
Okay. Now, listen, like I said earlier, and I'm going to share with the girls, the females. It took me, or even with my dad, I was not an easy daughter because I am the daughter. I can call you out on your foolishness, okay? I calling you out, and I, listen, I doing you right in. It took me a long time. Daddy, you don't tell me you love me, Daddy. Daddy's like, yes, I do, Stanley. I say, no, Daddy, you, if I would say, I love you. And then you say, I love you too. So you know what my dad started doing? He don't do it every time me and him speak. But every so often, every Stanya, I love you. Before, I could not, if I speak with Daddy, Daddy shutting the conversation down, doing one big bunch of foolishness. The other day, we were having a conversation, so I say, Daddy, no, we ain't finished with this conversation yet. And I had to learn to kind of bring my emotions down too. So he said, oh, okay, what else you have to say? And we finished the conversation. So as I grew, my father grew. And just as Frankie and Jonathan shared about learning and watching their children. Because children need more than just money. Yes, we need their finances. The school fee got to pay your uniform. They go into the doctor. But what we need is your presence. That's what we need. Now, let me hear get inside this thing here because Dwight done back. And you all know he like messaged me and tell me come off the air. Okay, here we go. The young women. Here we go. Let's read off now. The lowest score, once again, was a 0. The highest score was 10. The median score was 5.7. So, now, I'll tell you this. With the young man, there were more positives. There was a lot of positives, but then the 0. Anyway, let me read what I got here. Let's start with what the young women said. 4 out of 10. I learned that life is about life. The 3 words they used to describe their father, a manipulative man. That's a 19-year-old. Next person. What would you give your father? 0. 0 out of 10. What have you learned? I haven't learned anything that is deemed noteworthy. But what I can say I've learned about him, oh Lord, you're already. Is that many men are cowards and aren't as smart or strong as they want you to think. When I asked how to describe him, the young lady said, I don't know that man. Men, as a young woman, as a woman, we learn, or y'all set the tone for how we see men. Yeah, this is young lady say, aren't as smart or strong as what you think. This is a view of men. And now this young lady can go in a relationship and not have a good relationship. Okay. This other one, this was a 5 out of 10. What you learn from him? The young lady said, signs of a manipulative man. How would you describe him? Not bad, not good. Another one. Oh, Lord, this one terrible. This is a 2 out of 10. And by the way, the other one, divorced. So they were in the home. This other one, divorced. He is a perfect example of men I should avoid. How would you describe this person? I can't even say, I can say the good piece and I'm going to try to say it in a way that you all understand. This is how this young lady who's father, right? Her father, a narcissist. Hmm. And then she said, oh my God. Y'all figure it out when I say this. This is the 3 words she used. Intercourse. And you know the word would say intercourse would start with the F. Intercourse, donkey, negro. And she didn't say negro. She said that word. That's what she called them. Frankie, you're looking lost. You get what I say and she say? Intercourse, donkey, negro. And Tay, why are you looking like that? And by the way, let me tell you all, by the way, all of these responses that I am reading, 95% of the responses that I am reading are from young people who attended private schools. Okay. The next 4 out of 10. Boy, y'all quiet, man. Y'all ain't even calling or messaging, man. Y'all, what happened? Your head stand up, hey. Give me, you can send me a message, 422-4796. 422-4796, or you could give me a call, 323-6232. Okay. 4 out of 10. Y'all ready for this one? And this another divorce one. Low-key, nothing. The three to five words they use to describe their father: inconsistent, proud, and distant. Hello? Okay. Next one. Man, y'all even quiet in here, man. Listen, there's crickets around here. Man, Brittany, you must need to come on the show with me because I know what's going on with my guests. Stay quiet.
I didn't know.
The other one. This was, well, they gave the father a 6. And they said that they learned to think before you speak. They described him present but absent. And that's another thing. You could be presently absent or absently present. You could be there and not there.
But what I'm gathering from all this is sometimes it's hard for someone to express or to give what they don't or haven't learned themselves. A lot of these fathers seem to come from a place of not knowing how to communicate effectively with their child.
I agree.
And hence, even though they want to, but they don't know how to. My last point. Mm-hmm. Like, with my mother, she didn't know how to tell me she loved me. But so she would cook something good and say, "Hey, boy, come eat this." But okay. That was her way to express. I'm saying the older generation didn't know how to say, "I love you."
Back it up, big soldier. Listen.
They try.
These young people here, their parents instead with us. Their parents are Generation X.
What I'm saying is,
for the most part,
you pass that on to them.
I'm happy you say that. I got one good quote for you. And this could go for the children too. Who we are is because of our parents.
Right.
Who we choose to remain is because of ourselves. No, Frankie said this and you said it, and I'm going to say it again. Y'all said that y'all learn and you listen. Right. If you want to love your child, I'm speaking to mothers and fathers, but today we're dealing with the fathers. First of all, you have to listen. What does my child need outside of money? Because everybody need money. The Bible tell you money answered all things. Right now I need money. Hello, y'all got anything for me? Hello. Okay, outside of that, you have to watch what it is that your children need. And every child may be different. One child might like when you show up to their soccer games. Yeah. So show up to the soccer games. One child may love when you hug them. Yeah. You gotta. So what you're doing is watching your child. Back to my daddy. All of the daughters, I say, boy, and look what God did. God gave him 4 daughters. Mm. All of us are different. And he parents us in different ways. So where he know I like talk and run my big mouth, so my dad and I be on the phone for hours. You have to watch what is it that my child need and love. So you have to watch and you have to just do. And when you do, I guarantee you, you're going to see what they really, really like.
No, just to piggyback on what you said, if you want anything in life, you study for your degree. Everything else in life, you tend to try to be a good pupil. You study it and learn it to get better. So I agree with you. We are sentiment about learning your kid.
Yes.
Just like if you want to get better in your career, you go study another course to keep yourself Bible, so that's true. There's no excuse, really.
Listen, or some children like gifts. There's some children, if their daddy buy them something, you can't touch that, buddy. You can't touch that. You have to watch your children and learn. And listen, I'm talking to the daddies. If you are having a tough time with your daughter, son, or whatever, you got to shut up too and listen to your child.
This is what I tell my
You got to have the uncomfortable conversation. This name, tell it to Stanley, the same name, tell it to Paradise Abaco. Okay, go on. I
finished. No, no. What I told someone who was having a hard time with their mother. Uh-huh. I would say, Father's Day. Her mommy and her dad. Well, she estranged from both of them, and she said Father's Day just left. She said, I'm not gonna call him for 36 years. I was on this earth, and I was always the one. Or he never called and said whatever. He said. But I said, sometimes it's the child who, hold on, I've said, sometimes the child who have to be the mature one.
You see, this is another thing. You see why it's home syndrome in this country, you know, you always blame victim and the one victim do the work. Why, and listen, whoever listening to me, I sick and tired of this foolishness when you talk, that's still your daddy, that's still your mommy. Listen, everybody, it is unfair for you to expect the child to do the work. Go on, Johnny.
I said it before. I come from a perspective where I have no parents no longer on this earth. Both of my parents are dead. So I'm saying, yes, your parents may hurt you or whatever, but when they go, they're gone forever. Sometimes you have to be mature. If you want to bridge the gap somehow, when your parents are out this earth, you may have regrets and said, you know what? I should have swallowed my pride and try to bridge a gap between my mommy or my father. But now they're gone, and that's it. Well, that's the only point I was trying to make when I said.
Well, I agree with you if it's fixable. But I still say that as the parents, we don't have a children's problem in this country. You know, we actually have a parenting problem in this country. And what I'm saying is, I get that you're saying that in some cases the children got more senses than the parents. But what I'm also saying is that we cannot expect the children to do the work that a parent should have done. Just like you say, but that's your daddy, but that is your child. Some people are so toxic, Johnny. Some mummies and fathers are so toxic that to tell you the truth.
The only reason why I said it is, like, even with her, she taught me stuff, how to communicate in different ways, because she comes from a different time. We came from a different time where, you know, communication wasn't.
The thing says, tell us we could have never tell our mommy.
That's my point. So that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean, Frankie? So you could have never do that.
That's the only reason why I said sometimes it's for the child to communicate.
And you know what? But they need to be open. And so as a parent, you also have to be open, and you have to admit that, listen, you mess up. Okay?
Take accountability.
Yeah. There are things my daughter throw at me all the time that are very uncomfortable, that I am very embarrassed about. And you know what? I just have to sit there and I just have to take it.
You're right.
I have to sit there and I have to take it. So, okay. And that's another thing. So parents, even in with the children lashing out, that's a cry for help. They are trying to reach out. They're trying to communicate. You just said that the young lady said that she did all this or whatever. Mm. You know what would make her day? If he just said, call her and say, hey, Hannah, how you doing?
No, I agree.
Is it just how she tell you that one little simple thing? All she want is for daddy to reach out, because she been reaching out doing the work. And see, look at this. What is she in the 30s?
36.
She's 36. She been doing the work all this time. And she still has not gotten the love that she really wanted from her father. Sometime too, you guys stop being nice to nasty. You got to stop being nice to nasty sometimes.
But,
because that's abusive too. That's actually very abusive. Wanting people to continue reach out, begging for love, asking for love, and there's no type of reciprocation, no change. That is very abusive to a person too.
But I feel that you'll feel more resolved in yourself if you exhaust all avenues.
Does she feel any better now?
No.
I would have to.
Frankie, go.
I have to agree with him to a certain extent.
Go on, man. You're all his team.
Because a lot of grown men and women are suffering today, because they have a lot of bitterness in their hearts for their
trauma,
parents.
Yes.
I agree.
And in most cases, the father or the mother isn't fully aware of the damage that they have caused. And that individual now, the parent will not reach out. So if that individual stays in that state, they're still longing for that relationship. They're still hoping, you know, that their father would reach out.
Right.
And the father does not reach out. Now, they have a choice. Either stay bitter and hold that in, resent them, cut them off, or you try to make an attempt to somehow, you know, make an attempt to reach out to your parents so that there'll be closure.
Sometimes the closure is when people ain't on your run. Okay? Sometimes you're trying to figure out why my daddy don't love me. Why? Da, da, da. And this is not me advocating for broken relationships, y'all. But what I'm saying is that there are many people, and I agree with you. I work with these people all the time. Anyone who has come through Eve's Journey Life Coaching Institute, every client I've ever had, I always go all the way back into the childhood, looking at the relationships that they would have had with their mother and father and what they learned from it, because there's a whole heap of information that's inside there. I personally believe that fathers, I still believe in the two-parent home. I still believe in two parents parenting a child. I believe that. I support that. But what I'm saying is that there's some cases where people of fathers and mothers are so toxic that in many cases they need to actually stay away. That's one, because there ain't nothing you gonna learn from your mommy or your daddy. Number two, it's not for the child. We have to move away from we like to say, oh, you're right, that's still your daddy. But we fail to say this was a child. It's not incumbent upon your child to kiss your butt and to heal the relationship that you were responsible for creating. And if you continue on with that, and I'll tell you this, listen, the other day, putting a family member in the home for the elderly, I said to the person who, you know, I was like, oh, well, did the son ever come? Da, da, da. She look at me, she say, Mr. So-and-so got to have a son? I say, yeah. The son ain't never show up, and you know what she said? And when I go on in there, most of the people inside the home, you know, in there, plenty fathers, plenty men. And that's very, very sad. So just as we saying that the daughter or the son, no, fathers, we need you. We need you. Your daughters need you. You don't only set the tone, but you are the protector. When these little jokey fellas show up on your daughter's step or whatever, y'all are who can roll them out. We need your... Let me tell you something. As much as I love my man, you know, I done talk with my mommy 10,000 times. If my mom tells me one thing, I didn't give her 5 cents. If my daddy tell me another thing, that mean the world to me. If I get in trouble and you call my mommy, yeah, you get cut it. Daddy never even used to punish. But if I disappoint my father, that used to kill me. There's an energy and a presence that a father has. We need y'all. Your sons and daughters need you. Your sons need you to show them how to be a man, how to be strong, how to provide, how to be decent, how to treat women, how to be respectful. Your daughters need you. We need you because we failing in relationships. Y'all talk about angry women. Most of them are angry because of way back when. They don't have no respect for man. They are basing men on what their father showed them. And all your conversation, it's not going to be easy. But you have to have the conversation. You know, I saw a post that say a child's first enemy or something like that is an unhealed parent. We have to do better. We talk to fathers now. Like I said, when I get to the mother, trust me, I go grind them up because y'all too like leave your children with all over the place. Got your boyfriend. Anyway, let me stay focused.
Because mother stay going and I ain't here.
No. We cycling back to that too.
Okay, just
checking. But what I'm saying, you see why it's kind of sad, eh? Fathers, we need you. Watch your children, whether or not you are divorced from the woman, whether or not you never even loved the woman, because I notice when y'all don't love the woman, y'all don't check for the children too. The children are the only casualties of war. And then it be, and you know what it be so sad? Then when the children make it, y'all all about telling people that's y'all child. Man, y'all, anyway, see, I gotta go. Anyway, let me read this last post. Because Brittany, don't tell me to wait. Say, get off there. Let's go. Blessings, Lady Stanya. Please bring these folks back on for part two on this father/daddy show. Parenting show. Please, Stanya. I am going to text. Okay, I know that little business here. Oh, this part for Dwight. Dwight, you guys, listen to this. And Lady Stanley, the great straw needs to give you another hour or at least half an hour. Please, Dwight, I can screenshot this so I can send this to you. Thanks. Anyway, I don't know the time. It's 6 minutes. I gone over. Frankie, thank you for being a guest on the show. Jonathan. Oh, and Frankie, we even talk because you got all kind of things. You guys come back on the show.
Yes, yes.
Okay, definitely. Johnny, you got your group. I ain't even want to say that group. Real questions. What is this? You got here all this money in here. Anyhow, Tay, my special guest, thank you for being a part of the show at the last minute.
It was a pleasure.
All right, guys. And if you want to send me a message, you could send me an email, tellitostania@gmail.com. And listen, I need sponsors for the show. Y'all talking about Tell Dwight. What did you say? Tell Dwight at least another half an hour. I need some sponsors. That's what I need. Could y'all please sponsor Tellitostania? That would be very good. And I could stay on as long as I want. And the thing about it, I got all kind of people in my contact list I could share your business and thing with so you could get your little money. Anyhow, we out here. Brittany done playing my music. I go on because I catch and ride. Bye.
Let's find out together. Tell it to Stanya.
This is Guardian Radio.